H1N1, it could mutate, as many experts seem to believe it will do, or could do, and this is what we're really looking at today. In fact, WHO said this morning that based on previous experience pandemics, 2 billion people could be affected. So what we're looking at, as Donato said before, is a possible 6-month period, starting at the onset of the winter season in the Northern Hemisphere, when the virus could come back and mutate and be much more virulent and cause a lot more damage. For Oxford Economics scenario planning, they're assuming, and these were also mentioned before, they seem to be reasonable rates based on previous experiences with pandemics, that the infection rate could be 30% of the population and the death rate would be 0.4%. And they've calibrated the likely drops in discretionary consumption and international travel using the experience of Asia's SARS outbreak in 2003. To recap again quickly on the SARS-type case, of course, what happened with SARS is that it erupted quickly, but it was in one region mainly, apart from, I think, Toronto, which is in Canada. And so it didn't stop travel and tourism completely. What it did was encourage people to shift to different destinations after the initial scare. And the public health authorities were able to bring the outbreak under control fairly quickly. There were some losses in service exports, largely reflecting the disruptions in travel and tourism activity as a result of the scare rather than actual loss of life. But these were the estimates of Oxford Economics as to the impact. Visitor exports, and by that we mean international tourism receipts, excluding transport, were estimated to drop 1%, representing $10.5 billion. The travel and tourism industry directly lost 0.7%, or $15.1 billion. You'll have all these slides later. And the wider travel and tourism economy, these were actually estimates made before. I haven't got the exact figures for what they estimated or assumed afterwards. I think they were slightly higher, in fact, but there wasn't much difference. So the total impact was $25.2 billion in terms of the loss of travel and tourism economy GDP. Okay, what about H1N1? Well, as I said, during the SARS outbreak, private consumption fell sharply in the region as consumers cut back on non-essential spending in order to avoid infection. Discretionary spending, other than that which is already included in the travel and tourism effect, in other words, on clothing, consumer durables, etc., accounts for about a third of total consumption. So Oxford's latest results for H1N1, the influenza epidemic or pandemic, assume a 30% cut in discretionary spending over a 6-month pandemic, which corresponds to a 10% cut in consumption overall. This is larger than during the SARS outbreak, given that the higher infection rates currently being experienced, higher but less serious, of course. So what are the transmission channels? I won't spend long on this because Donato's already mentioned them. Death and illness, of course, dampen labor supply. The assumed mortality rate of 0.4%, and particularly, as mentioned this morning, if it's the crew on the cruise ships who die off or who become infected, then there isn't anybody to take the boats around, so presumably there are no cruises either, or very few. So if the people who are ill stay at home for 2 weeks, Oxford estimates that the 30% infection rate corresponds to 2.25% one-off shock to labor supply in the 6-month period of the pandemic. And yet, although this is significant, this supply-side impact is likely to be relatively small compared to the demand-side shocks from less travel and other discretionary spending. As I think was